All right, there we go. Welcome to the Creation Liberty Podcast. This is show number 63 for February 28th, 2014. My name is Chris Johnson. I'm the founder of Creation Liberty Evangelism, where our purpose is to win the lost to Christ and to teach the truth of God's Word and science. Now, we believe God's Word is the authority over mankind. We believe in the young earth creation account the Bible teaches. We believe that evolution, as it's taught in the public schools of America today, is one of the dumbest and most dangerous religions in the history of mankind. That's our position as we that we take on that, and you can visit us at creationliberty.com to learn more about that. Well, today we have a guest that's decided to come with us on the show, and Brian from South Carolina is joining us. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you coming and taking the time to do it. I know it was a little difficult to get it scheduled. And,
definitely.
Yeah, and I appreciate your courtesy. You've been very courteous on emails and all that. I don't get that all the time, so I really appreciate that from you.
No, it's no problem.
All right, so why don't you just take a moment, tell everybody a little bit about yourself and your beliefs.
Well, I'm Brian from South Carolina, atheist, 23 years old, and I basically, atheism is just me, I choose to not believe in any deity due to the lack of evidence that's been provided to me, in my personal opinion. But I am an atheist that just so happens to accept the biological process that beings have become more complex over a long period of time to what we have today, which is called evolution.
Okay, excellent. So let me, I guess, start out by asking you, how would you define evolution then, from your perspective?
I would define evolution as the change with inherited characteristics of biological, like within a biological population, over successive generations. So it's a continuous thing that passes down through biology. It gives species diversity at every level of biological organization.
Okay, so the change of inherited characteristics and diversity among those. See, that with, and that's, I guess, what I'm trying to understand your position on this, because from that definition, I would agree with that definition. Evolution happens.
Okay.
But
okay,
the problem is that's not what the textbooks teach. And that's where I've really wanted to get a differentiation in what we're discussing here, I guess.
Well, I did take a chance to watch all three of your Evolution is a Religion videos.
Oh, thanks for taking the time to do that.
I noticed in the videos it seemed like, with your presentation on cosmic, stellar, chemical, abiogenesis, macro, and micro, mm-hmm, that by simply, in your videos, you were trying to disprove each part of evolution, which I was researching all these parts of evolution, and I don't see them as the definitive, like, evolution is based solely on biological occurrences with DNA, RNA, that sort of thing within living organisms. When it comes to cosmic evolution, it's simply the study of many varied changes of a universal scale. It's not evolution as biology goes. There's chemical evolution, which just is a study of scientists trying to demonstrate how small molecules can assemble into RNA and proteins, which means in like unliving material forming into living material. But none of these are technically the groundwork for evolution. Evolution is just simply biological organisms that become more complex over time.
So unliving material to living material, and do you believe then that non-living material can become alive?
Well, that's the thing. I'm not a scientist, so I can't say that I believe. Like, I believe organisms do become more complex over time.
What is your position then? Maybe I can ask it that way. Would that be all right?
My position?
Yeah. Is your position that unliving material can come alive?
That's the thing. That's why there's people studying to see how it can come about. This is the point at which two people having a discussion from one who's a religious and one who's not religious, it comes from basically saying, is it more possible that we observe all of these natural occurrences in our own lives? We see the basic elements, hydrogen, helium, all those things in our world. We realize that all these natural things happen, but instead we're going to put a supernatural being, God, aka God, into it, when we can just say, how about by chance this material came into being, produced life, and then at that point when the first single-celled organism was came into existence, by chance, that it then became, it started to become more complex, and over millions or billions of years, it became what we know today. I don't see what's wrong with saying that it may have happened by chance instead of putting a supernatural being into it.
Okay, well, I'll take note of what you just said, that, you know, you said that, you know, I'm religious and you're not. But it didn't, that didn't really answer my question. My question was, is your position that unliving material comes alive? Because the reason I'm asking you that is because when you defined evolution to me, this was part of your definition when defining in terms of biological evolution. And I wanted to know, I mean, you defined evolution that way, so
Involve unliving material coming into living material. That's actually the study of chemical evolution. But evolution only deals with biological organisms. Chemical evolution is a separate study entirely and has not been completely certifiably proven.
Okay, so now I'm confused. Because remember when we went back and I started with, I said you defined evolution as a change in inherited characteristics and had diversity with each generation. That's why I said I don't disagree with that, because that happens, okay. That's observable. But then when I ask you for the differentiation between that, you went into explanations of like cosmic evolution, RNA, DNA, things that you had seen on our videos. But I was asking you how you would define evolution. So that way we have it, because we don't really have a differentiation yet.
that's what evolution is. That's the basic definition of evolution, which is biological organisms over generations. Like if you had a child and it had a different hair color from you because your wife had a more dominant trait within her DNA, then that is evolution. Like if your child had a mutation of some sort and had one eye different from the other color, then that is evolution. It changes from one generation to the next in only biological organisms. And I was referring to your other types of evolution that you were referring to in your videos, because it seemed that you were just trying to disprove evolution or prove that you have to accept some of it on faith rather than proving that it's a religion.
Mm-hmm. So what I did there, and if anybody can go back and watch the video, what I said was this is what the textbooks teach. Mm-hmm. In elementary school, high school, college textbooks, they teach the same things here. So for example, what you were just saying was, you know, somebody, you know, gets different hair color or things like that. That's observable. I have no quarrel with that. The problem is what is taught in the textbooks is not that at all. They use that. What they'll do is they'll start out in a textbook and they will teach that as the general definition of evolution. And then they do what's called bait and switch. They switch the definition on them slowly as they go through the textbook. I've read through them myself. I have them on my shelf back here. I can show you. And what they do is they start to then say, well, you know, living things change over time, which is true, and then they start to include other things. They start to say, well, we started out as a single-celled organism and then slowly evolved into, you know, this. It started out as soup, slowly evolved into fish, into other different mammals, and then all the way up to humans. Now, that is not the same definition as change of inherited characteristics and diversity, okay, because that we can observe these small, what we call, you know, you showed micro changes. I agree that happens. But the rest of it, the macro evolution and all those beyond that, that is what's religious. That's not observable.
Well, that's the thing, is I think that brings us to a good thing from me mentioning what I thought that your videos were attempting to do by simply disproving evolution with the facts you were presenting or such. But in textbooks, I was not taught the evolutions that you presented, because textbooks are, if I'm correct, some schools, public schools, as a matter of fact, still teach creationism. So it's based on what they want in their textbooks and based on what textbooks you accept. I was never taught chemical evolution in the sense of formally inside of a textbook, it's saying, okay, here's the definition of chemical evolution. Write that down. It's going to be on the test. Mm-hmm. I was taught evolution simply from the biological perspective.
So you're saying they're a package deal?
I never took part in that in our school system.
Okay, so in your position, are you saying they're a package deal, that if you believe in one definition, you believe that everything from Big Bang on forward is proven, or?
No, the Big Bang is completely separate from evolution.
Okay, but that is not what the textbooks teach. I just want to make that point, because I can prove that.
Well, I did notice a few of the textbooks you were presenting were from 1993. Some of them were from 1997 and 94. I think that we can both agree that either science or people's opinions or people themselves can, within your own life, can change very drastically. I mean, just 15 to 20 years ago, we were just starting to use DNA to apprehend murderers and rapists. So science can change very drastically in what we know and how we know it within a very short period of time.
Well, I have recent textbooks here that are used right here in Indiana in public schools right around here that do teach that, and I have examples of that. I don't know if I put them on the website or not, because it's been a long time since I've worked on those, but I think I have them in the seminar, actually, the one on there. I do have some examples on that. I don't have it pulled up right now to show you. But I have examples of recent ones that are used right here in Indiana that do teach that that's all part of it. So are you saying that those textbooks are incorrect and that shouldn't be that way?
Well, I think that if you truly believe that those parts of evolution are not proven hypothesis, then yes, you should take that up with the Board of Education. But what I'm saying is, with my experience, that's not what I learned as formally. They did not have formal chemical evolution, stellar evolution being taught in the classroom. We were taught simply biological evolution. However, I don't want to get too far off topic, because the topic is evolution a religion or a science?
That's why we're trying to define it.
The definition provided by Collins English Dictionary, which you used in episode 25 with another atheist, so I assume it's a source that you find appropriate. It says, belief in or worship of or obedience to a supernatural power or powers considered to be divine or to have control or human destiny. Number two, any formal or institutionalized expression of such belief, aka the Christian religion. Number three, the attitude and feeling of one who believes a transcendent controlling power or powers. Number four is mainly the Roman Catholic Church, and it says the way of life determined by the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience entered upon the monks. Number five is something of overwhelming importance to a person, such as, oh, he watches football all the time, so it's his religion. If we're speaking completely figuratively, then somebody who studies evolution from when they were in college, you could say that it is their religion, but evolution provides no basis for everyday life that would determine it to be a religion. It doesn't dictate what music I can listen to, like your Christian rock is wrong video. Evolution doesn't tell me what music I can or cannot listen to. It provides nothing, no basis for morality or any such thing in life to determine that it's a religion. I don't have to organize with other evolutionists in a building on a certain day. There's no federally recognized holiday. So by definition, it is not a religion.
Well, what you've already done is you've implied that onto my Christian belief, that I have to have a building, or that I have to meet with a certain amount of people, or I have to do all those things. I don't have to do that either. See, here's the situation. What you defined, you started to take it way out of what you defined as religion, because you were the initial one you were giving was talking about the belief in supernatural power. Well, nature is things that we can observe in the material world around us. Supernature, super means beyond what is nature, beyond what is natural, unexplainable by natural law, to go beyond natural forces. So when God, like for example, and you were correct in saying when Christianity would be focused on its religion, it's part of supernatural powers. See, when God creates man and animal from the dust of the ground, I believe that is supernatural. That's part of religion as a definition. However, take for example, what would be something that is natural? Well, horses produce horses. You know, we have zebras and horses and mules, and they're all the same kind. They produce and bring forth. However, what the evolutionist believes is that the horse and the banana had a common ancestor millions of years ago that came from soup. That is not observable. That is not part of nature. That goes beyond natural law, unexplainable by natural law. That is supernatural by definition and a religion by definition.
The thing is you can say that it's supernatural.
Is it beyond nature?
So I can't dispute that coming from super whatever, I mean, we've already agreed that evolution, the definition that I gave, we both agree happens. So again, by that definition of simply what that is, instead of incorporating all the chemical evolution and all the other evolutions you provided, trying to show that it takes faith to believe these other evolutions that you were showing that are taught in textbooks, in your area at least, then it's still not a religion. It's if I can take just a second, it doesn't tell us. I honestly don't know.
Do you believe that a horse and a banana have a common ancestor millions and millions of years ago prior to their appearance in the evolutionary record that you believe in? Do you believe a horse and banana share a common ancestor?
Again, I'm not an evolutionary scientist, but if it's biological, and we did come from one common ancestor, which is whether it's a single-celled organism or such, then logically that would follow. But again, I'm not an evolutionary scientist, so I can't say whether
we see,
or
this
not
is the problem with the
conversation.
I got to stop here. This is the problem with the conversation so far. Every time I ask you for your position or your belief, you're like, well, I'm not sure, I'm not a scientist, and, well, maybe this might be it. You would make a great lawyer. I don't know if you want to go down that.
The debate topic is evolution, whether it's a religion or not, and mm-hmm. with the definition that I provided for religion, it doesn't fit that criteria.
But the problem that you started out with, you stated.
Of course, if you ask my position on evolution, I don't have a position on evolution because it's just like gravity. What's your position on gravity? Do you think it's been around forever, or do you think it was incorporated, you know, later? Or it doesn't matter what I think. I don't know that. I do know, however, that if I drop a set of keys, it is going to hit the ground.
That's gravity. That's
that
demonstrable.
If I have a child, it will share traits based on my partner and myself.
Yeah,
so that
I agree
is
with
evolution.
You.
That's the only position I have.
So the horse and the banana stuff, then you don't believe in any of that?
Well, again, it doesn't matter whether I believe in it or not. I don't know enough to tell you that that is what evolution says.
So the evolution's not proven, then?
Yes, it's proven, just from the definition I gave, from biological organisms.
Well, if you know, then why can't you say this is my position? If you know, why can't you just say that's my position?
Because I don't know if horses and bananas the way
you just said you do know because it's proven. You just said that.
Again,
you go back and listen to the recording. I mean, and then you stated absolutely that you said I'm not religious and you are. You said to me, you said I am religious and you said that you are not religious. So mm-hmm. obviously you have some sort of knowledge and position here to claim that.
Well, I'm not religious in the sense that I don't believe in either a deity. I don't believe... I have no firmly held personal belief that dictates my everyday life.
Religion doesn't require a deity.
I don't ascribe to any religion because evolution, by definition that we provided, is not a religion. It has no basis on anybody's daily life. If I was in a jury and a person murdered somebody mm-hmm. and they said, do you think that was right or wrong... I don't say, well, let me look at what evolution says on this. I simply say, well, if the evidence says that he murdered that person, he's guilty. Evolution has no bearing on your everyday life, like your Christian beliefs do, by way of saying that listening to Christian rock is not godly, that sort of thing.
Well,
evolution has no bearing on my everyday life.
Well, the morality issue is kind of a separate issue, and we'll come back to that if time allows, but we're still on... Let's do this. Let's say, is a horse and a banana having a common ancestor, is that natural? Is that something that you can observe?
Something that I can observe, like mm-hmm. a horse and a banana?
Having a common ancestor, yeah. Is that something you can observe?
Well, that's the thing, is it would have to be shown to me, of course, that I haven't... You know, in high school, it's not a basis, like, they teach you the basics of what evolution is. Basically, the definition, and it gives you some sort of examples. It doesn't go into the origin of the species and how everything from then on came into being. But, so that's what I would have to say to that. That's all I would have to say. I mean, the definition of evolution, based with what I was taught in school... on evolution, that's what I know. And based on small little bits and pieces that I've gained from trying to learn on the internet and read scientific journals and such, but other than that, that's the extent of my knowledge, is what the definition of evolution is and certain groundworks of it.
You realize you didn't answer my question at all?
No. Can you ask it again?
Yeah, sure. I said the horse and a banana having a common ancestor, is that mm-hmm. part of nature? Is that observable?
Now? I don't know if it's observable now. If it was observed. No, I don't know if it was observed.
So that's something you would say would take millions and billions of years and therefore is not observable and therefore not part of science.
Well, just because something wasn't observed, like, I understand your point of view. Proving something to either be bad science or an unproved hypothesis is a lot different from saying that something's a religion. I don't think that we've settled this on whether it's a religion or not. I see that you saying, well, do you believe that a banana and a horse having a common ancestor is one thing? You can debate an evolutionary scientist if you want that answer. But with me, I'm simply providing definitions. I don't see what else I was expected to...
Well, you said yourself, a horse and a banana having a common ancestor millions and billions of years ago, you said it's not observable. It's not something that we can go in and observe.
Okay.
Therefore, it goes beyond nature. That is supernatural, and religion is a belief in a supernatural power. You believe in a supernatural power. Now, you're not going to admit it on this show, but you do.
Well, I wouldn't say that it's a supernatural power. These are natural things that we know exist, but saying...
You know? I thought you said it wasn't proven.
How a biological process came to make both of these things over millions of years is a lot different than saying that a being that is all-powerful came and created all of it. I don't...
Mm-hmm. So... What you're saying, or what you're at least trying not to say, is that yes, you believe a horse and a banana had a common ancestor that came from soup millions of years ago, but yet, at the same time, you can't really prove that.
I personally can't prove that, no sir. I'm not an evolutionary scientist.
So this is part of your religious belief. You believe in a supernatural occurrence.
That's a religious belief, but again, we still haven't settled whether evolution is a religion. Like, proving that I have to take that on faith is a lot different than proving that it's a religion.
Well, you have to, the religious, and absolutely not, I don't see your point. Because remember, the definition of religion, and you can get this from Random House Dictionary, or the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language, there's lots of them you can go to. Religion is a set of beliefs concerning the cause, nature, and purpose of the universe, and belief in a supernatural power. Supernatural means to go beyond nature. We don't observe horses coming from anything except the horse kind. So if you want to believe that long ago and far away something else happened, you're welcome to that belief, but that's not science, that's your religion.
And again, when the definition of the religion simply says a belief or worship of, or any formal institutionalized expression of such a belief, there is no formal or institutionalized expression of that belief.
Oh, sure there is.
It has no bearing on everybody's daily life.
Oh, sure there is. Public school systems.
Huh? The public school systems,
mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Well, so the English language is a religion.
English language is a religion. No, because we can prove that.
Okay, but that's the point. If you're saying that it's in the school system and that's why it's a religion, because it's institutionalized as a belief or something, like, I'm sure there's something, like, the origin of language has been disputed over years, but we don't call English language a religion.
Yeah, but we can prove that. That's you're trying to compare apples and oranges here.
Well, just like in history, people in the South where I live say that Abraham Lincoln tried to start the Civil War by doing this and this and this, and that's definitely disagreed upon, but we don't call that a religion just because it's taught in the public school. Like, it has to meet a much larger criteria instead of just being taught in the public schools
okay.
and being taught and taken on faith.
So you're still mixing apples and oranges, and I'll show you why. Because what you did is you just pointed towards historical evidence. We don't have any evolution presents no historical evidence whatsoever. It doesn't have any historical record. See, Christianity does, and so does, the documentation about what choices that Abraham Lincoln made. But evolution provides none of that. They base it clearly on, they say, this is absolutely scientific, so I want to see some real science, if they say it's not a religion.
Well, see, that's like saying that we don't have evidence of gravity existing millions or hundreds of thousands of years ago.
No, we can prove gravity.
No, it has always existed. That's the thing.
We can prove gravity. I could drop a pen. I just proved gravity.
It's happening right now.
Now, I want proof that a horse and a banana had a common ancestor millions of years ago. I just proved it on camera, gravity with the pen dropping. You can demonstrate that. You can't demonstrate a horse coming from something non-horse.
A horse and a banana didn't have sex.
I didn't say that. I said they had a common ancestor.
Yeah. Yes, we all have a common ancestor. I would agree to that.
Okay, I think we have a common ancestor too. It was a human being, Adam and Eve.
Okay.
But what we're talking about is something completely different. A horse coming from a non-horse. Soup producing, or, you know, raining on the rocks for millions of years and producing soup, and the soup came alive, and then diversified into everything we see today. We don't have any evidence of that happening.
No, we don't have evidence of one thing turning into another, or one thing turning, you know, no, we don't have proof of that. However,
I appreciate that.
Because we can observe evolution now, it would be logical to assume that it has taken place in the past from one origin, from one point it began to occur.
Okay, so what you just said, and I want to repeat this so people make sure they get that. You said it is logical to assume. And what I talked about continually all throughout our website and all my seminars is that the entire evolutionary model is made up from imagination because it's based on assumptions. It's what people assume to be true or presuppose to be true before they approach the subject.
This is why I can't debate the science. I can tell you that there's other things in your life that occur that you say, well, this has happened now, and it's going to happen in the future, so one would assume that it has happened in the past.
Well, you see, you're not giving any examples where a horse has come from a non-horse today, therefore
again,
assuming that it happened in the past.
I've already told you that.
Yeah,
I can't give you an example.
I know.
This is why we go to medical doctors if we have a sickness or what have you, because we can't diagnose ourselves and we can't give ourselves medicine. We go to an expert. This is why I don't debate evolution or the origin of our species. I debate the definitions. This is why I wanted to debate whether it's a religion or not, not if we came from a horse and a banana.
Well, your faith, then, is in the power of men. Because you say, I don't have the evidence, and I don't know if the evidence exists, but I have faith that these guys over here have it.
Well, I know that you go to the doctor. I know that if your car has a problem, you go to the mechanic and trust what he says is wrong with your car. Granted, I know there's a stereotype of mechanics lying to you, however, but these people who study years and years and years in a certain study, such as evolution, such as mechanics, such as computer programming, we trust these people to make and give us information based on what they've studied and become experts on.
Okay.
You have to say that you go to a doctor because you don't trust yourself to diagnose yourself and give yourself medicine if it's too extreme.
Okay, so let me show you the logical fallacy in what you just provided here, because again, what you're doing is you're mixing apples and oranges and you're calling them the same thing. A mechanic, you said, you go to a mechanic and you trust the mechanic. No, I don't. If he fixes the problem, and he demonstrates what's wrong, and he corrects it, then I'll trust the mechanic when he can show me what he has done and prove that he's done it. If there's a clunking noise in my car, I take it to the mechanic, and he just puts insulation under the hood and shuts the hood so I won't hear the clunking noise anymore, I don't trust that guy. If I go to the doctor, and he doesn't know what he's talking about, if he's telling me I have a bunch of diseases I don't really have and then starts prescribing me a bunch of medication I don't need, I don't trust that guy. It doesn't matter how much education they have. If they can prove what they know and prove what they're doing, okay, then we can go to them and get some real information. But the problem is the evolutionary scientists you're pointing to cannot prove the things they believe in religiously.
They have proven that evolution occurs, the one that you agreed upon, that changes within a biological species over generations. Now, you agree
micro.
With that definition.
Yeah,
if
micro.
If evolutionary scientists have proven that this actually occurs, then why not follow their reasoning with other things?
Because what the evolutionist doesn't want to admit is that there are limitations to the changes.
I understand limitations in the sense that I can't have sex with a banana, but limitations within a species is
In evolution, what they really believe is that anything can become anything. Just throw in time, and anything can become anything.
No.
Oh, yeah, they do.
That's not what evolution is.
I've listened to professors. Now, you said you keep referring to other scientists. I've listened to evolutionary biological professors in live debate say that exact line, and I can show people that. They said, given enough time, anything can become anything. So if you keep referring to those experts, those are the experts you're trusting in.
I know that evolution simply says that things become more complex over time. I would look at the person's credentials. Again, you know, whatever. You would have to look at that person's credentials and how you would have to look at his scientific pages that he's written to find out if he's actually intelligent on the matter that he's gotten degrees in. However, evolution, from how I understand them, was taught, was simply things become more complex over time.
And in what way? Okay, because the definition that you gave at the beginning was that the definition you gave just now and the one you gave at the beginning are polar opposite. Because this is general. You said change of inherited, and I don't want to say polar opposite, but they're very, very different.
I can read it again.
You said change of inherited characteristics and changes in diversity and that kind of thing. But then you said that they come. Well, I do have a note here. You said that they become more complex over time. Mm-hmm. And what evidence do you have that they become more complex over time?
That's the basis of evolution. From hundreds of thousands of years, we can already document that we have become, that our human race as of right now, from hundreds of thousands of years ago, has become more complex.
You have documentation from hundreds of thousands of years ago?
I personally do not have documentation. We have bones and we have bones of skeletons of prehistoric humans, of humans from thousands of years ago, that demonstrate that we have become more complex as people have mated and we have come to be. Yes, sir.
There is no evidence for that whatsoever. When you dig up a bone, all you know is it died. You don't know where it died. You don't even know that those bones had any children that lived. You couldn't prove that. I mean, when you're saying that you're arguing definitions, you can't prove at all that that bone had any children that lived. You don't know that it evolved into anything. So why are you taking this giant leap of faith to believe that these things can do things that they can't do today?
If I find bones, that means there were two parents to that set of bones. There has to be, correct?
Asexually reproduced.
If somebody finds my bones, they can't say, well, he must have just popped into existence. No, they say, well, his mom and dad, I wonder who that was. Like, if we find a biological organism in the ground, we know that it had two parents.
So nothing just pops into existence?
Nothing just pops into existence, no sir.
So you don't believe that inanimate material can become alive? They just can't just pop into existence like that?
That's not popping.
That's not popping. Okay.
Like, popping to the way the connotation the word pop has is poof, or something magical, like it just popped, all of a sudden it just popped out of existence. You know, it's sort of like if you have a chemical reaction between, you know, two chemicals that are highly reactionary, and then it starts boiling, and then poof, it blasts into something, or it blasts, and it has that big chemical reaction. It didn't just pop out of nowhere, it was a gradual increase in its complexity, and then the explosion occurred. Mm-hmm. And then the chemical reaction actually took place.
Oh, well, you're welcome to believe that.
Well, I mean, again, I mean, you didn't say that I showed you something. Like, if you find bones in the ground...
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get you off topic there. Go ahead.
You have to know that it had two parents.
Unless it asexually produced, then I would say yes.
Humans, biological organisms like that, humans and mammals, can't asexually produce, as far as I know.
Okay.
Mammals cannot asexually reproduce.
Yes, they had parents.
Okay, so it's not... That's what I'm saying, is because they had parents, that shows evolution. If we find more bones like that, that shows a population. Like, the more bones you find, the larger the population gets regarding in and of itself.
Okay, here's my question. How do you know that population wasn't wiped out by a catastrophe?
Wasn't what?
How do you know that population wasn't wiped out by a catastrophe?
Well, you would have to examine the bones, and then you'd have to examine the natural area around it, such as Pompeii. We find bones there, and we determine that it was a volcano that erupted due to the ash and soot that we found the bones in.
Okay, wait a second. You are making, like you said earlier, you're saying this is logical, assumed based on your assumptions, and what you're assuming here are a lot of things. You're assuming that those bones, that the people died in that area. When you find a bone in the dirt, all you know, like I said, all you know is it died, and you may have, like you said, you may know it might have parents or something like that. But really, all you know is it died. You don't even know where it died. You only know where it ended up getting buried.
That's not, like, finding out where it died or what doesn't really have any effect on how we know something died or that it had parents. Like, I said we find a set of bones, and then to determine if it was a catastrophe, we look around in the area that it was buried in, and if it has the same chemical composition as the volcano... and a volcano erupted at like...
How could it have the same chemical composition of the volcano that's erupting? Because if you're saying it can have the same chemical compound the volcano has erupted in because it's been sitting there. However, that doesn't mean that's where it died.
It's not where it died.
That's
really
where it ended up getting buried. Let's say flood water killed a creature, washed it away into an area that becomes volcanic, then the bones of the creature that's there is going to automatically absorb any chemical compounds that's in the area where it's sitting. That doesn't mean that's where it died.
Well, again, that's why I said you'd have to look at the surrounding area and then look at the species that you find out what type of species, I don't think I'm using the word species correct, but find out if it was a mammal, if it was a reptile, that sort of thing. Like, there's so many ways to try and find out how something
not to say is that, okay, well, that's a valid point, but I'm going to push it off onto something else that I have faith in because these scientists over here are smart guys and I have faith that they're right, so... It's really, you're expressing a lot of religious belief right now, and I don't think you even see it.
No, faith doesn't mean it's a religious belief. It's not, like, I'm not expressing a religious belief. It's just something that I accept based on experts that have provided evidence in the form of textbooks, teachers teaching me, in the form of all of that, in the form of me seeing two parents have a child, and its characteristics being passed down, it all falls under that evolution. It all, under the definition of evolution, I can see that this occurs, and then with the experts who have studied this for years and years and years, more than you and I even combined, yes, I am going to take their word on what they have studied.
So
scientifically, yes.
It's argument from authority, then.
No, it's not. I mean, that's
yeah,
like
pretty
saying...
much.
Saying if I have cancer and I go to the doctor and then he says, you have cancer, and then you're like, no, dude, you don't have cancer. That's argument from authority. Just because he's a doctor, like, what does he know? That, like, you go to an expert for a reason.
And again, he can prove. If you do have cancer, he can prove it, whereas the people you're having faith in can't prove what they believe. And we've gone down this road already. You're back to giving the same examples again.
Well, no, I can't provide the science that they provide right here and now. So, yes, I'm saying that they would be able to provide that evidence for you. When I was watching your video series, I wanted an evolutionary scientist in the room, at least to address the points that you are making, to some degree at least, just because in every other aspect of life, you don't argue, for the most part, you don't argue with an expert in a person's field. You take that person's word for it. Now, a mechanic can lie to you. He can say, oh yeah, we just changed your oil, and this thing was bad, so we also changed that out. And he can give you some BS reason he can have a part from another car that's the same make and model as yours and say that, yeah, this came out of your car, this was bad, and then we fixed it for you, so it's going to cost, you know, $1,000. You can't prove that that was wrong if he takes a part like that.
So
you
he can
have
lie.
To take
yeah.
his word for it.
That's right. And so he said he can lie. So... you're trusting in men who may be lying to you.
Yes, but you also have to find what are all the evolutionary scientists' reasons throughout the entire world, all evolutionary science, what is their motivation for making this lie?
And that is a good question. Do you mind if we switch gears here then? Because I don't think we're going to get any farther on that point. Do you mind if we switch gears here and go to the morality issue then?
Sure, why not? Morality sounds fun.
Well, what you were bringing up there was kind of bringing up the question of purpose. And I realize we've only got about 20 minutes left for this episode. So this is going to be not enough time to cover this issue. But you said, you know, evolution, he says, it has no effect on how I make choices. Mm-hmm. Evolution absolutely does have an effect on how you make choices. It is a worldview, it is a philosophy on how you choose to believe in certain things or not believe in certain things.
I think I would disagree with that.
Well, I know you would disagree with it, but that doesn't change the fact that that's what you actually believe. It's your worldview. Just even saying, evolution doesn't tell me, you know, what decisions to make for this or that, or whether or not I can go drinking or doing other things like that. That's mm-hmm. true. That's why it's a religious worldview. That's why it affects your morality, because it doesn't tell you whether anything in this world is right or wrong. It gives you freedom from any rules. You can decide for yourself. You become your own God.
Well, no. I mean, that's the thing, is there's so many things in our life that do that, but we don't say that that's our worldview. Like, evolution is there. Gravity is there. It has no bearing on my when
you're mixing apples and oranges. You can't call evolution and gravity the same thing. I'm sorry.
I don't say, well, does evolution say whether this is right or wrong? What does the Ten Commandments of evolution say? I just say, is it right or wrong in this instance? Evolution has no.
Is it right or wrong to you?
The definition I gave. That's the only thing evolution is the change in inherited characteristics. It gives no. Intuition on morality or anything like that. It simply is there. That's all it is. It has no bearing.
You said, is it right or wrong in this instance? I just wanted to write that down real quick. Is it right or wrong in this instance? To get you to understand this, who decides if it's right or wrong in that instance?
Who decides what's right or wrong?
Well, you said you come upon a choice, what you would consider a moral choice, uh-huh. And you said the question it comes down to, is it right or wrong in this instance? Well, who gets to decide the answer to that question?
We do.
You, yourself, right?
Yes, people do choose whether or not something is moral or not.
So other people who don't believe in the Christian God of the Bible, they just get to choose for themselves, right?
Can you repeat that?
I mean, other people that don't, like, unbelievers that don't believe in the Christian God of the Bible, I mean, they could just get to choose for themselves, right?
They have the freedom to do so, yes, sir.
Okay. So people like Marquis de Sade that used to torture women, and he thought that was just fine, morally. Okay. Is that acceptable?
From my point of morality, no, sir. From my point of view, no, sir.
Why not?
Because I was brought up not to do that sort of thing, that it was wrong.
So if you weren't brought up not to do that sort of thing, it would be okay with you then?
If I was not brought up that way, I can't say whether or not I would think is right or not.
Okay, so there really is no moral standard at all, which is itself a moral standard.
Yeah, from what I've seen, I was also studying this today as well. If I can just quickly read something.
Sure, go ahead.
This person was saying that they, and this is just a person's point of view, this is their view on it, they think that morality is both subjective and objective, depending on what state it's in from its genesis to its internalization. Morality is subjectively created, then externalized and made communicable, tangible, and therefore objective, and then internalized from the objective state, making it subjective as it's held in the mind of the individual. And so a group of humans come together and agree that these things are explicitly and implicitly what's right and wrong. Now, it's obviously subjective, but humans socially construct morality. Yes, sir. Humans socially come together and say, we're going to say that this is right and wrong. So morality is both. It's subjective and objective.
The person you just quoted and you yourself just now just argued for majority opinion and said this is objective. No, it's not. You're just getting together with the majority and saying this is right. You see, 100 years ago, abortion was wrong in this country. Today, mm-hmm. they're making laws for it.
Yes.
So there is no moral standard. It's just you're just going with whatever way the wind blows.
Okay.
And that's what I'm saying.
Can you demonstrate why that's wrong?
Exactly. There's no demonstration of why abortion is
can
wrong.
Can you demonstrate why going with the majority and a majority of people in a nation saying that something is right or wrong, why that's wrong?
Yes, thus saith the Lord.
Okay.
There is one standard for what is right and what is wrong. He says things like drinking is wrong, fornication, adultery, all that stuff is wrong, and therefore that is a standard that we all have to adhere to. Now here's the question, why is it that you and a group of people can get together, decide what's right and wrong, and the rest of the world has to adhere to what you personally think is right or wrong?
That's why, like, our society, I mean, we have a society that, I mean, just because we think something is right or wrong here, like, we don't think that it's right to have religious law over the nation. However, in Saudi Arabia, they have Sharia law. We don't think that's right, but that's their majority opinion, says that we think this is the best way to have a society. That's, I mean...
And so what we need is a moral creator, the one who knows the hearts of all men, to decide for us.
Well, is something right because God says it is, or is it right and then God just says it is? Like, I don't get, if God's all good, so whatever he says is good, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So he could, in essence, tell you to do something and it's automatically moral because he says it's moral, or because he says it to do.
He is the judge over all mankind.
You said he's a judger?
He's the judge over all mankind, that's correct.
Okay, he's the...
But you see, in your worldview, you're the judge over all mankind. You get to decide whether it's right or wrong.
I'm personally not the judge over all mankind. Each person has their own gauge of what morality is, and it's the majority that says... We don't think that that is morally correct. We're going to punish you for it. That's what laws are. That we came together as a group, whether it was religious or not, and said that murder is wrong. We said that stealing some from somebody is wrong. These things we have come together as majority opinion and said, yes, we don't think this is right. It should be against the law, and you should be punished for it.
Okay, so is rape wrong?
From my point of view, with my upbringing, yes, sir, it is wrong.
Okay, well... The rapist would say otherwise. Who's right, you or him?
Well, I have numbers on my side, if that counts for anything.
It's majority opinion. You're arguing from an illogical standpoint.
It's not illogical, and that's our basis for, like, every person has, yes, their own set of moral beliefs. However, in that instance, a rapist sometimes does it because, one, they're drunk, or sometimes the woman... just happens to not say yes, or she leads him on, or whatever. So there's a lot of gray area with a lot of instances, but I do believe the way that I was brought up, that rape is wrong.
You were almost starting to give an argument for why everybody thinks rape is wrong, which that's not the case. There are some people that don't think it's wrong. And all I'm saying is that when you argue for majority opinion, let's say one day the majority decides rape is acceptable. Will you then find it okay because the majority decided that?
With my upbringing, I will choose not to partake in rape.
Okay, so then when you say that when a group of humans, like the guy you were quoting, the group of humans get together and they decide, that is not actually your moral standard. That's not how you do it. Because right now, you're going against the majority, which means you're not actually living the way you say you believe.
Well, I don't believe it because it's majority. I believe it because of my upbringing. It just so happens that it coincides with what the majority says. Now, if I have a child in a world that says rape is right, he will believe rape is right, but with my upbringing, I will teach him that rape, in my personal opinion, is wrong and to not do it.
Okay, so the rapist who was brought up to believe it's okay, he said that it's right, it's all right for him to do that, and mm-hmm. So which one's right, you or him? You can't go
majority
back to majority.
No, you
just contradicted yourself because
majority
you just said you don't.
Time. I mean, that's why there's still laws. Like, there's laws like marijuana that I think it should be fine to smoke marijuana, but it's against the law, so I choose not to do it.
Brian, you're going in circles here, and the audience can see it already. You just contradicted yourself. You just said I would choose to do what I would, it was based on my upbringing, not a majority opinion. And then when I asked who was right, you're the rapist, you went back to majority opinion again. You're in circular reasoning now.
Wouldn't you say that's all we really, like, that's what we have? Like, we were all brought up a certain way based on our own personal beliefs or our own personal experiences, and then we pass that along. If a group of people came across and said, just like Hitler, and their majority opinion says that killing Jews was moral, then in that section of group of people, it's moral. Just like the KKK, it's moral to hate black people. However, a larger majority opinion says that it's dumb to hate another race based on nothing. So, there again, I've already said that there's no overall morality. It's how you are brought up. It's what you think is moral in certain circumstances.
Well, you're still going back to majority opinion argument again, even though that's not the way you just said you really believe. Your real foundation is you're going back to your upbringing, and then when challenged on that, you're returning to majority opinion again. And the problem is, we need an absolute standard to come and sort out all this mess, because we had a lot of people fighting over what they think is right and wrong. And do you mind if I ask you a question
about that? Sure.
If would you say you're a good person? Just in your opinion.
Sure, I would say yes, definitely. In the majority of situations, I am a good person.
Okay. Have you ever told a lie?
Yes, I have told a lie.
Well, and so have I. What does that make us?
That makes us liars, but I've also told the truth.
That's true. But
so I tell the truth.
So, but do we just, how many lies do we have to tell before we become a liar? Is it just...
Well, we're all, like, that's the point. We're all liars. We're all, like, I don't say that none of us have never done anything wrong. It's, we all do something wrong. Like, we're all imperfect, I guess I could say. I don't want to give you an opening like that, but we're all imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
We're all human. Like, we all do things based on either personal belief, personal motivation, greed, happiness, you know, whatever. There's a lot of things that motivate us to either do something that's moral or immoral. If I had a family and I was starving on the side of the road and I couldn't get any assistance, I would contemplate going into a store and stealing some meat.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think stealing is right? No. Yeah. But in that situation, I could have a little bit of understanding as to why a person does that.
Yeah. And when I was younger, I've stolen stuff before. Have you ever stolen anything in your life?
Not from a store. I stole a pencil from a student of mine. From a friend of mine.
We've all have done something like that, right? But that makes us what?
It makes us normal.
It makes us thieves, doesn't it?
Yes, but then I've also not stolen stuff. Like, for everything that you show that I've done, I can show that I don't do. And like I said, it's all based on that certain instance. If you're starving on the side of the road and can't get assistance, you would seriously contemplate stealing some food to stay alive, to, and people would be able to understand that.
So what I've what I wanted to show you, and I hope you'll stay with me. Let me explain this for just a moment. What you just did, we already explained that. You know, you said I'm a liar and a thief. Okay, I'm not saying I'm guilty of those things, but that was what you said too, right?
Okay.
And the thing is, with you being a liar and a thief, what you did each time is that you justified it by saying, well, I've told the truth a lot of times, or there's a lot of times I didn't steal, or there's a lot of times I've been giving. And what you're trying to do is justify the things you've done wrong by your good works. And the problem is, the Bible tells us that no one is going to be justified by their works, and that you're going to have to pay an eternal penalty. One lie, and you got to pay an eternal penalty for all eternity. Whether you believe in God or not, you're still going to stand before a judgment seat, and you're still going to give an account for those things.
Do you have any proof of that besides the Bible?
God's word is the evidence of those things. The prophecy of his word is proven true in all matters. So yeah, we have a lot of evidence that that's the case. The problem is that what you really like about evolution is it gets you freedom to do things, freedom from having to be just accountable to a God who is going to judge you for those things, and you want to try to justify yourself before him just in case with your good works, and it's not going to happen.
I want to ask you a question and then tell you what I would say to God if he asked me when
go ahead.
If I go to heaven, you know, whatever, and he asked me when, you know, if I should go up there. I wanted to ask you, Oh man, I just don't tell me I just had a brain fart and I can't remember what I was going to ask you.
Oh, take your time. It's okay.
I was going to ask you if there was no God, if you didn't believe in this, would that mean that you're more likely to do these bad things? Like, it seems like you're saying because I don't believe in God that I'm either more likely or I'm glad that I don't believe just so I can do bad things. And that's not what it is.
Well, if there was no God, there would be no problem with evil and we wouldn't even have to ask that question. See, in your worldview, there is no problem with evil.
No. I didn't say there's not a problem with evil.
Can't be justified to exist.
Wrong, like stealing food when they're starving, I can empathize with that person and knowing they're desperate.
Argument from emotion.
However, what?
That's appeal to emotion. It's a logical fallacy.
Well, no, I'm saying in this situation, I can empathize with that person.
I know what you said.
They were in trouble, but appeal it still emotion. Doesn't make it right, but you can empathize with the person.
Well, I know what you said. You just repeated yourself. That's an appeal to emotion. Empathy is trying to say, well, I know how I would feel if I was in their situation. That's an appeal to emotion. My emotions are what's driving me to do right or wrong. And your emotions can change over the course of your life.
Yeah,
so there's still no moral standard.
My whole point is that morality isn't overarching. Like, there's not a set of morals. So if you have empathy for somebody, you're more likely to help them. You're more likely to understand their situation. Like, that's my whole point.
Well, that brings an interesting question up. Let's say the Christian God of the Bible is real and the Bible is true.
Okay.
Would having to follow the Bible change your lifestyle any?
Follow the Bible completely literally as I interpret it? Or, like, this is
as the context itself
when
interprets
you read
it.
I have to interpret it on my own. So
the Bible is a self-interpreting book.
I would think I would interpret it would be completely literally. So when it tells me to do certain things in the Bible, such as I think there's something in there about not getting tattoos or eating shellfish or stoning your partner or wife if she commits adultery or your kids if they disobey you, I don't think that's right. And I would think that was wrong even if I was reading it in the Bible.
Well, that's Old Testament covenant meant for the Jews alone. And if you study the Bible, it says if you even look in lust after another woman, you've committed adultery already in your heart.
Uh-huh.
You ever done that?
Looked at women with lust?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, the thing is, you're already guilty of those things. But would you have to change your lifestyle any?
Well,
if the Bible
that's
is
the
true?
Thing. Do you look to the Old Testament for, I mean, Genesis, the origin of the universe is there. Are you not meant to pay attention to that because you're not Jewish or it wasn't meant for you? I mean,
oh, we study it.
That you accept
but Jesus,
from the Old Testament and other things that you don't, it seems like.
Jesus Christ fulfilled that law.
Fulfilled what?
He fulfilled the old covenant. That's what the old covenant was made for. The whole thing points up to the Lord Jesus Christ and him fulfilling those things. But you see, that still doesn't take away the fact that you're still guilty.
Yeah. I guess if I went to heaven, well, actually, I have another question. Since this is just going to, for the next 4 minutes, I guess we can just have a pleasant little conversation about, you know, little things in the Bible or what have you.
Well, if it goes over a few minutes,
just
it's okay.
Just have a little bit of fun, maybe.
It's all right.
I was wondering, what's the only sin that you can't be forgiven for?
The only sin you can't be forgiven for?
Yes.
Well, blaspheming the Holy Spirit.
Either blaspheming or not believing, correct?
Only sin you can't be forgiven for. You can be forgiven for not believing, but up until you're dead, once you die, that's it. The Bible says in Hebrews, I want to say it's chapter 9. I think it's chapter 9. It says that you're appointed to a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment.
So you have
this life.
I understand what you're probably going to say to this, but in essence, a person who does good works never, you know, for the most part, never did anything wrong to another human being, has donated to charities, done all good works, a lot of good works and such, and a murderer, before he dies, can repent and go to heaven for murdering 3 or 4 people at one time. But the person who did good works doesn't repent because they don't believe and will go to hell for doing good works.
That's right.
Their whole life. Is that possible?
Absolutely. That is the way
and
it's going to be.
That's where we differ. This is where, in my personal opinion, that's immoral.
Okay, and that's your personal opinion. Like I said, that's based on appeal to emotion, appeal to majority, which are logical fallacies.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no problem with evil in an atheist worldview, which is why it's so appealing to you.
Well, no, in an atheist worldview, it's not that it's appealing or it gives us freedom to do whatever we want. I mean, in my opinion, in my personal opinion, if I wrong another human being, I feel very bad. And I go to that person and have to look them in the eye and ask for forgiveness from another human being, that to me is one of the hardest things you ever have to do, is ask for forgiveness from another human being. But when you can simply pray and ask for forgiveness and get it, that doesn't seem very hard to me. I'd rather have to look a human being in the eye personally and ask for forgiveness instead of asking from God.
Oh, and the Bible teaches us to do that too. But the problem is, you see, you're like, well, it just sounds too good to be true. It just sounds too easy. Well, that's what the whole purpose of Jesus Christ is. He made it very simple, but apparently it's very difficult for people to do because they really don't want to accept God. They like their pet sins. They like their lusts. They like the things that they like to do, and they don't want a God telling them what to do. That's what this whole thing's about.
Well, from that point of view, it seems like you're saying that I believe God exists, but I just choose not to believe him. When
Romans chapter 1 says you know the Christian God of the Bible, you know he exists, but you reject him anyway.
So, well, see, you're telling me something that I know, and I don't know that.
In your heart you do, but you're going to find a way
to argue for my heart.
I can't do it. You're right.
He knows that God exists.
You're right. I can't do that, but God can. And that's why I'm quoting from his word. Well, that's why I'm pointing to him, because he does know your heart. He knows the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, says in Jeremiah 17:9.
I would just say that the Bible was written by people. It may be the inspired word of God, but God did not personally write the Bible, correct?
You said it may be the inspired word of God? You're saying that's a possibility?
The inspired word of God.
Okay.
God personally did not take a quill pen, did not take a typewriter and write out the Bible, correct?
A human being is holding the pen in his hand, but God is doing the writing.
Okay.
Anyway, so I think that's probably a decent place to stop then, since we're on the hour. But Brian, thanks for joining us. You were so courteous during this whole call.
You're welcome.
And I really appreciate that. I like having conversations with people like that. And maybe if we want to discuss another topic or something, we can have you back.
Oh, yeah, I could email you sometime.
Yeah, that sounds good. Well, thanks a lot for joining us, and I'll go ahead and hang up now, but you have a nice evening, okay? Get some rest.
All right, you too, sir.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, folks, that's the end of this episode. So we're going to upload that to YouTube, and you guys just tell us what you think. Give us your thoughts on there, you know, Christian or atheist. I know we might have some atheist subscribers who are following along with us. But if you enjoyed this kind of material, you want to see more of it, tell us in the comments. We would like to see more of these episodes coming on there. You got to say something to me. I don't know what people want if they don't tell me. So subscribe if you want to see more content like that, and make sure to visit creationlimited.com to get more information. Again, all of us are guilty of God's laws. The Bible says that we're all under sin, and even Brian had admitted that, you know, yeah, we're all broken, we're all wicked, we're all doing wrong. Even he admitted those things. He says we're all liars. Well, that's the Bible telling us that we're all liars. And the Bible also says that they are that the Gentiles, when they do the things that are written in the law, they're a testimony of God's word. When they're doing the things that are written in God's law, even when they believe that lying's wrong and they know in their hearts that, oh, I wasn't supposed to steal that, it's not so much their upbringing as it is that they know in their hearts it's not wrong. Even thieves know in their heart it's wrong. That's why they sneak around at night. And they're a testimony that they know that God's word is true, but they deny the power thereof, the Bible says. So we have to continually be patient with people, pray for people, pray that Brian would, that the Lord Jesus Christ would open his eyes to the truth of what he's, of the circular reasoning, the logical fallacies that he's using to make his arguments for his religious beliefs. And go back and listen to it. You can see where they were different religious beliefs that he was talking to at the very beginning, in the first half when we were discussing that with evolution, how he kept going in the circles he was going in. Because the problem is, he did, by definition, believe in the supernatural, things that were beyond nature. So anyway, thanks for joining us, guys, and we will see you next time.